folks, thanks so much for joining me. Thank you. This is Mindful Medicine. And yes, always just trying to open our minds, use our minds. And today we're going to do that to actually help you maximize your next doctor's visit. I have an author, a guest, a doctor with us today. Her name is Dr. Haley Fisher Wright, and she is the author of an amazing book. I was talking to her earlier, and I got this book, and I completely flipped out. It's called Back to Balance, The Art, the Science, and the Business of Medicine. I love it because these are all the things that we need to talk about. Yes, there is science in medicine. Yes, there's the art of actually applying that science and that knowledge that you have to working with the patient. But oh my dear, is there business involved in medicine? And we know that. And sometimes I think it gets in the way. So she is a nationally recognized physician leader, a healthcare executive, and a former business consultant. She is currently president and CEO of the Medical Group Management Association. Dr. Haley Fisher Wright, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Yeah. All right. So your new book is called Back to Balance, The Art, Science, and Business of Medicine. Tell our listeners what the title, about the title, like what does it mean?
Well, I think you point to it in the introduction, Holly, and that is that when we talk about medicine, there's those of us who trained 20 years ago who think of medicine as a covenant with patients. There's those of us who work in the business of medicine, and then there's the people who do the research. When we talk about the three components, I tend to think of art as the relationship between patients and physicians, the science as the treatment, and the business as how money is exchanged.
Yes. Got it. So this is incredible because I think that, you know, the book is amazing, and it's got an incredible amount of praise. And now, You are a physician and obviously a businesswoman and also the CEO and president of this Medical Group Management Association that represents 40,000 healthcare professionals. How did your work influence your writing of this book?
Well, wow, that sounds really good. When I think about in my current position, I'm tasked with representing almost half of the healthcare, frontline healthcare delivered in the United States. And what I recognize is that, and I think everybody who's listening recognizes we need a change. No one is happy. Physicians aren't happy. Patients aren't happy. Even the payers, the insurance companies aren't happy because they feel like things can be done better. And we've seen 30, 40 years of legislation, regulation being pushed down into the medical practice with the hopes of making things better, and it hasn't worked. So what the book Back to Balance is really my thought process of how we're going to change the health system. And I am incredibly optimistic and positive about the future of medicine, but it needs to occur from the front line up. And really what I talk about a lot in the book Back to Balance is that medicine is a $3.4 trillion industry in the United States, fifth largest economy in the world. And yet it's all fundamentally built on what happens between a patient and a physician in a room. And that's where the power is, both for the patient and for the physician.
Yes, and that's where the imbalance is, because it seems like that piece is forgotten as far as where the real care takes place. I mean, you even write that relationship at the heart of effective healthcare is that relationship. And like, why do you think that is?
You know, I think that, and what I write about in the book is that nothing has occurred in our healthcare system with malintent. It all had good reason at the time it was instituted. But now what's happened in the year 2017, and I would argue probably from about 1990s to 2017, is that all these things layered on top of each other are starting to get to unintended consequences. And that's what what it's done is it's disengaging the provider, because from the provider standpoint, they went into medicine to see patients. And that is the reason that 70% of providers went into medicine. 50% of providers really believe that there was a calling to medicine. And yet what we're doing is, from the business of medicine standpoint, is reducing the physician-patient interaction to a transaction and focused on productivity as opposed to relationship.
And definitely then undermining that relationship between the doctor and the patient. I think, and it's everything, you know, for me as an active practitioner, yes, I get a lot of information prior. I have a full intake form that I ship out and they ship right back, via online and such. And so there's tons of questions that I ask. So, but boy, oh boy, do I get so much more information when I'm face to face and looking that person in the eye and being able to go deeper and actually being able to pay attention to nonverbals and dig a little deeper in that area. It's like the value of that relationship to me as a diagnostician in trying to help somebody is just unbelievable.
Agreed. Honestly. And Holly, over 200 studies have shown exactly what your gut is telling you. And that is, when a physician is allowed to establish a meaningful relationship with a patient, we see better outcomes, lower cost, and higher satisfaction, which is, by the way, the triple aim that we're all trying to achieve.
Yeah, on both sides. We want doctors being happy because they're human beings, and we want patients being happy because they're presenting someplace to actually get help, and we want that outcome to actually happen. All right, this is fascinating. I want to get right back to it, but first, I want to hear from our sponsor. All right, folks, I want to take a quick break, and I just want to introduce you to a company I've stumbled on called Organifi. Listen, here's the deal. We know that to truly thrive in all areas of our life, our health is so important. I've learned this firsthand. It's what I believe. It's how I practice. And for many of us, in these days especially, time is our most valuable asset. Things are going really quickly. We've got a lot going on. And we've got a lot of people that are just grabbing convenience food. And sometimes that convenience food, pretty nutritionally valueless. But this is why I love Organifi Green Juice. It is an organic superfood green juice powder that you simply add to water to get your greens in anytime, and guess what? Anywhere. It's so simple and it tastes great. And when you invest in your health in this way, you gain more time because you have more energy and focus to get through your day doing those things that you need to do. And the best thing about Organifi Green Juice is that, once again, not only is it great for you, it actually tastes super good, like surprisingly good. And I want you to try it, all right? Try it for yourself. You can go to Organifi.com, and that's Organifi, and use the code MINDFUL, and you can get 20% off, all right? I want everybody to try it. Make that convenience food as nutritional as it can be. Grab and go? Sure. We all live that lifestyle, but this way, you got the goods. All right, we're going back to the show.
Okay. All right, so this is a really important question, and I'm so glad I have you here to answer it, because I know I hear this from folks that come into my office, and I do get a lot of people because I have a cash practice, and I do get a lot of people who come, they want to utilize their insurance that they have, and so they go to their doctor. They sometimes don't get that, aren't getting the outcome. They are dissatisfied, and they end up coming to me for something different. But I hear this all the time about how little time is spent with them, but also that the doctor is basically looking down at a screen, making checks here and there, on their, basically what it is, I think they're talking about is that electronic health record, that EMR. What is the logic behind it? And also, can it be improved?
Sure. And actually, this is one of my favorite topics. So, long before I wrote the book Back to Balance, in 2005, I attended an electronic, we called it EMR at that point in time. I'm so old, we've changed initials. Electronic Medical Record conference. It was in San Francisco, and it talked about by 2007, we will have fully interoperable health records with the goal of having a medical record that is fully portable for the patient. So let me highlight patient. So that we can basically achieve the benefits of decreased costs, decreased medical errors, et cetera. And this medical record will be fully transportable with a patient within the United States. And to that end, the administration at the time funded, I believe, almost $500 million to achieve that goal, which was the beginning of meaningful use. I can now say, and remember the goal in that conference, they said by 2007. Well, it's 2017 and we have not achieved that goal. Here's what has happened with electronic health records. They've actually become a great tool for business process. It's a way for us to bill, to justify billing, to document quality metrics, et cetera. So it ceased to be a tool of the patient and the provider and actually became a business operations tool. Generally, when you go to purchase an electronic health record by hospital systems, see this, is they're looking for a business management system, and it typically has a health record attached to it. And that is what the development has been. And given the fact that our large health systems, that's their bread and butter, and that's crucial for them to capture those interactions so they can code and charge for it, that's what's driven the industry. So that's kind of the state of the state in electronic health records. Really, we're looking at the two biggest players being Epic and Cerner, by and large used by hospital systems, and by and large integrated into a fully functional management platform. That's what is present now in 2017. So answering your question, the question I always ask, does it have to be this way? And the answer is no. We can actually repurpose electronic health records to be what it was originally intended to be, a fully portable health record, and a record that instead of making it hard for patients and physicians to create a relationship can actually be a tool of enhancing the relationship. But we have to learn to escape the 200 to 800 clicks per visit a physician is required to document for each patient visit.
Right.
So, you know, as I hear from I know it's ridiculous.
I know. I'm shaking my head. If you could hear me shaking my head, that's exactly what's going on.
The millennials would say SMH, shake my head.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Or I can't even.
Yeah. But, you know, as a patient, you're saying, my doctor, you know, my eyes are up here, meaning get your eyes off the screen and look at my eyes. But if from a physician's standpoint, if you're tasked with seeing 20 to 30 patients a day, you've got to get that information into the computer, knowing that for every hour you spend with a patient, you are going to spend 2 hours in clinical documentation. Mm-hmm. And so what do we need to do to transform this? It's actually really simple, and yet because it's so simple, it's incredibly hard. And that is from the physician standpoint saying, I refuse to use a tool that actually hinders me delivering good care, which is what a lot of physicians will say about their electronic health record. And because 50% of practices are owned by physicians and not health systems, those people can vote with their dollars and start bringing in electronic health records that actually are end user focused. A lot of what we talk about in the book Back to Balance is that the single source of truth in healthcare is in the medical practice. And the best way to get to the truth is to actually develop tools and processes that allow patients and physicians to have a peer interaction.
Yeah, I think because the reason you say that, it goes right back to that relationship really is the base, and this is where it all needs to change, and we need to come back to that relationship. And I think that you are so spot on. You know, I have to tell you, my OBGYN that I see, I feel so sorry for her. It's almost painful for me to go in and have my visit. She's one of the nicest, sweetest, loveliest ladies that I've ever met, but she feels so guilty about her practice and the way that she has to practice. What she comes in, and because we talk, you know, on a different level just because we have some commonalities and such, but she comes in and I asked her once because she doesn't have her EMR in front of her. And she's like, no, I can't stand it. I can't have any focus on. So what she does is just, she spends time with the patient. She'll make little notes on almost like a scrap piece of paper. And then on her own time, she transfers that information to her electronic medical records. She just doesn't want to have it as a barrier to that relationship.
I agree. Process-wise, there are probably better ways to accomplish that. But doesn't that say a lot that a professional, a capable, well-trained, good human being professional is willing to go through the hoops because they value and recognize the clinical value of the humanity of the relationship?
Yeah, it goes a long way. And those are the people that I refer to, and those are certainly the people that I seek out myself to see. Now, you say, and I wholeheartedly agree because I cannot work without anybody. But you say the patients need to be engaged partners in their healthcare. Can you talk about that a bit?
You bet. So in Back to Balance, really the way that I think about Back to Balance, I talk about the art, science, and business of medicine in there. But I also talk about a triad being the patient. I prefer to call them persons because I think that's much more empowering. Providers.
Yes.
And then the practice, the people in the practice. In other words, the people that work within the practice. That's another triad, if you will. And so in the same way that I'm advocating that physicians take back their power, meaning vote with your dollars, refuse to take things that you think are going to interfere with providing good clinical care. The nature of the relationship of the physician and patient in 2017 has dramatically changed over the last 30 years. Because of the ease of access of information, physicians are no longer the sole receptacle of medical knowledge. The truth is, tons of knowledge is available in any capacity. Physicians need to function as the curator of that knowledge, and that requires an engaged patient who's willing to come in and be an engaged partner in that relationship for them to have the best opportunity to provide good clinical care.
Yeah. I agree with you. You know, there's been so many times throughout my career, and I've been practicing as a doctor for 17 years now, that people will either call or say, you know, what do you do for uterine fibroids, or what do you do? And it's almost like I'm stuck. It's almost like I feel like I'm an artist, and it would be like going up to an artist and saying, draw me something. You know, it's like
the process. Yeah, or how did you paint the Mona Lisa, you know?
Yeah.
In a certain way.
The process, engage, it involves this another person. Like, I can't work without you. I want to just fire back like 18 other questions. I'm like, here, let me just, you know, you answer these, and then maybe I'll give you a little hint about that. But it's true. And I always say, my patients are leaving, I said, listen, if you don't have questions, I don't have answers. And so for me, no news is good news. And if there's something up, these are best laid plans, but let's follow your body as, you know, time goes by and as changes are slowly implemented in the more comprehensive way. And so yes. And then you also, patients have key, or people that we are caring for in this service industry, I think, have key rights and responsibilities. What are they?
So I think, as a person involved in healthcare, and bear in mind, most people are really shouldering quite a bit more of the financial burden. And the way that I view it is that you want to be an informed consumer. And I don't mean consumer as in distance, but you want to make sure you're using your money to the best and highest of its power. So I would recommend that people come in with three questions. And for you, Holly, my nurse says you have great relationships with your patients, so they probably come to these naturally. But if you're not comfortable as a patient going to a doctor, these are three questions to start with, number one, is why am I here today? Because I think a lot of people are surprised, people meaning both patients and providers, that oftentimes why a patient is in the room may not be why a provider thinks a patient is in the room. And it's a good level setting conversation. Number two, for this visit to be successful, what needs to happen? And that is, and the reason I put that in there is because a lot of times if you're a physician doing 800 clicks to do a visit, sometimes you lose the purpose of why you're there. And as a patient, it gives you the opportunity in case they need something or there's something that needs to be done, but you don't have to come back and have something done. So it helps both ends. And then the third question that I always ask is, what should I have asked but didn't ask? That actually is a great open-ended question to allow a relationship to go deeper, but also gives everybody the opportunity to get the things that you may have missed out on the table. These are my three favorite questions. This is what I counsel my friends and family to walk into a doctor's office and answer. I also think you can tell a lot about the physician you're seeing with how they answer. If they're open to these questions and want to engage with you, fantastic. And if they're short with you and cut you off and you're not really having the experience you're hoping to get, the thing I always tell people is there are 800,000 doctors in the United States that are practicing, and other care providers as well. Chances are that if it's like dating, if this one doesn't work, there probably is someone there out there that will work for you. Feel free to find another alternative. It's okay.
Yeah. So yes, mindful listeners, this really is all about maximizing your next doctor's visit and such great information. And, you know, I always would say too, and remind people, hey, your doctors work for you. You know, sometimes, you call it dating, and I love that. It's all about also, you know, if you're unsatisfied taking that power, go ahead and get a second opinion. And a second opinion might be in a different system of medicine, something, you know, more comprehensive, or just might be with another provider in your, you know, particular insurance program. But I think it's really important, you know, Dr. Haley, often, if I've been lecturing, I was like, all right, how many people out there, just a show of hands, have a primary care provider? And my trick about this question is that I think every hand should go up, because at the end of the day, I believe that really in our hearts, we should be primarily in charge of providing care for ourselves. And that, to that point, I even mean, even if it's just asking those questions of somebody who you're paying for to help take care of you or help figure out what's going on. So I think those things are really, really important. All right, I want to ask you one last question here. Your work you do with the MGMA, and once again, folks, that stands for the Medical Group Management Association. So, wow, you're a busy woman. So you have seen medical practices around the country that have found ways to make relationships central to the care that they're offering. How are they doing this? What makes them so effective?
Well, great question. The first focus is on doing the right thing. And the second focus is on creating a culture where this can happen. So it really invites, you know, in the book, I write three questions, which is how, you know, the first question, how do we do the right thing for the patient and not necessarily what we think the right thing to do is? And the second, one of the second principles is, are we asking the right questions? These practices ask different questions. They're not asking, how do we do the medical practice model slightly better? They're asking the question of, how do we deliver a relationship, have a meaningful relationship with patients, deliver high quality, lower cost, healthcare to patients. And those are different questions than most healthcare institutions are asking themselves right now. And then instead of starting with a process and then iterating on the process, they look at their end goal, they look at where they are, and then they create processes to get to the work, to where their goal is. And by the way, it isn't perfect. It isn't linear. But they keep working on what their goal is, who they're trying to serve, creating the cultures they need to get to those destinations. And for these organizations that have made this a priority, they've actually been clinically successful, financially successful, and their patients love them.
Oh, and I think that all sorts of metrics could be drawn on both the patient and the caregiver, and everybody's probably getting healthier in, you know, throughout just that process. All right, so Dr. Haley, your book, once again, is called Back to Balance, The Art, the Science, and Business of Medicine. Folks, listen to this. I'm going to read from Dr. James Madera. Now, he is the CEO, he's an MD, of the American Medical Association. And here's what he says about Dr. Haley's book, a highly personal account conveyed through storytelling that is both effective and accessible. Back to Balance is an insightful and delightful read describing the critical need for enhancing the art, and that's that relationship, of medicine in providing care to the nation. And so everybody, you've got to read this book. I think that it is going to truly help transform our healthcare to its potential very compassionately. And I thank you so much for the work that you do and for being on the show. You can find out more about Dr. Haley at drhaley.com. That's D-R-H-A-L-E-E. And also on Facebook at facebook.com, D-R-H-A-L-E-E. Thank you, Dr. Haley Fisher-Wright, so much once again for being with us. And you, mindful listeners, thank you for spending time. And until next time.